Welcome to another episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship. Today, we have Dr. Nato Orazulike, who is the Group Managing Director of Genesis Group. Dr. Orazulike founded and nurtured the growth of the Genesis Group brand from a 25-seater restaurant 30 years ago to a notable conglomerate in Nigeria with interest in hospitality, entertainment, oil and gas across various states in Nigeria. Interviewing him is an alumni from the Faith Foundation's Emerging Entrepreneurs Program and the Aspiring Entrepreneurs Program, Titus Igwe. Titus is the Chief Executive Officer of Variety Chef Kitchen, a food services company based in Lagos, Nigeria, which has now diversified into bakery, chef training academy, consultancy, catering, and restaurants. Join us as we listen to their journeys in entrepreneurship in the hospitality space.
Hello, my name is Titus Igwe. Today, in this episode, we'll be focusing on Dr. Nato Orazulike's experience working in the hospitality sector. Thanks for joining us. It's a great joy to be here today to have this conversation with you. I know a lot of our listeners are looking forward to this. So I want to start. It's been 30 years for you on this journey. Does it feel that long to you?
It feels just like yesterday, but first, thanks Titus, and thanks to Faith Foundation. It feels just like yesterday when I had the dream to start the Genesis Group. And so, yes, and the time has just flown by so fast.
I'm curious to know, why the name Genesis?
So for me, Genesis was the beginning of a young man's dream to conquer the world in the hospitality business. And Genesis is the first book in the Bible. So that was just a fresh beginning, you know, and looking forward to the outer, greater things to come.
Very interesting. But then, from the beginning, what opportunities did you see that made you realize that, okay, there is an opportunity in this, or there is a market in this gap?
I grew up in a town called Enugu, and at the time there were very few restaurants. I set it up as a fine dining restaurant. There were very few restaurants that we could go to and get a nice decent meal with the kind of service I now come to see as I traveled the world and also experienced in Lagos where I did my youth service. So I felt that if I brought the same level of service and food quality to the town, and even if the people came once in a long while, that I will have a business out of that. So I saw that opportunity and I decided to take it home. Why Enugu? Because I had to go back to where I started from. That's where the family is and family businesses are. So I had to go back to Enugu. But I wanted to go back to Enugu to do my own thing also and not just join the family business, which was the building materials trading business called Orazulike Trading Company. Okay, my father made that famous and was successful, and he started in 1957 in that particular business. I had to go back and then join in a way. Yeah.
Was it not like strange when you were diversifying from that particular sector to go to something entirely that nobody in your family has?
It was very strange. I do remember my mother almost throwing a fit and saying, you know, why would you want to go and do food selling? You know, for them at that time, it was supposed to be something derogatory, you know, that you just go to sell mama puts up. Yeah. It sounded like going to sell mama puts. No, my son should go and do your master's, do a PhD, do whatever you wanted to do, but come on, not food, not just go and sell food like a commoner, you know. And but yes, I convinced her that it was not just what she thought. Yeah. It was a much bigger thing than that. And thank God it's somehow.
And that onset, did you imagine that it's going to be this big?
No. I mean, I always dreamt of being it big, but I didn't think today it would be. I mean, I do remember the business plan I did after I came to Port Harcourt, and the horizon wasn't further than a few restaurants. But today, I mean, we're in the restaurant business, 25 of them. Today, we're in cinema business, 12 of them. We're in industrial catering, we're into hotels, 6 of them, and a host of other things, oil and gas business. No, I'm not God. I didn't imagine it to be this big. It just followed my heart.
You know, oftentimes they always say to you, dream big and dream big and chase your dream. Now, you looking back now, you know, 30 years after, do you think that those problems or those gaps you saw in the market then, that you have addressed them?
Well, yes, in our own little way, I think we have addressed them, and I think we keep addressing them I do remember very recently meeting a rich friend of mine in NNPC in Lagos, and he was saying, thank you for the restaurant you set up in Adelo de Good. It's a place I can go to now. And so in different ways we address it. So we create places where it's aspirational for some and it's comfortable for others. Okay, so yes, problems we keep addressing in different ways, you know, and keeping our brand close to the entire people.
Let's talk about the untapped opportunities in the sector. You often mention about market in the gap, you know. So what market trends should we anticipate in the Nigerian hospitality industry?
Okay, so let me talk about the hospitality sector where I am. And so like I told you, we do restaurants, we do catering, and catering for the oil and gas mainly, and then for other individuals also, and we do hotels, cinemas. We are both fortunate to realize this, but it exists still across. We realize that there are opportunities in this. And so we are 25 restaurants. There are some brands that have gone to 50 and perhaps getting to 100. We think that we can easily in the next 2-3 years get to 50, and then in the next decade get to 100 restaurants. And so that clearly tells you there's loads of opportunity in the market. You know, there's still a gap in most markets. So presently in a few major cities, but there's loads of other cities in the country that you can also do this in, you know. And so we think that there's still an opportunity in all of this for even those who are coming through to build a strong brand and be true to their brand and brand promise to their customers. And then those customers in turn come back to be loyal to their brand and give them those businesses that they really want out of their venture. You have to maintain the integrity over the years. So 30 years of keeping our promises to our customers has helped us continue to grow the brand. So we haven't become that restaurant my parents used to go to. We are still relevant to the young people, and it's important that people, you know, when building their businesses and time goes on, bear that in mind.
Yeah. You know. You're building for the generations to come. But then, you know, like you look at Nigeria, it's always said it's either Lagos, Port Harcourt, Enugu, Abuja, you know, or Imo, or you know. What is it with other cities in Nigeria? Do you have plans for them?
Also? Oh yeah, like I said, I mean, there are people who are already tapping into cities that you've not mentioned and creating fantastic markets out of Benin, Warri. There's so many other bigger cities, and there are even some smaller cities that you can then go and set up your brand, and it becomes making such a way becomes aspirational. Yeah. So we are lucky with the large population, and we need to know how to tap it and then give them what they want. So the spending power may not be as high, but so you create products that they can also afford and create an environment that they can aspire into and become comfortable in, and they would reward you with their patronage.
Genesis Group have expanded into different other sectors, oil and gas, you know, hotels, and so on and so forth. At what point in your business did you decide to diversify, and what led you to it?
As we journey along, we do our strategy sessions, and we always try, like you said, I always try to look out for what is that gap in the market, and then is there a market in that gap? And then how do we then fill up that void that exists? Sometimes it's customer-led, and the customer comes to us and says, look, can you offer us this service? For instance, our industrial catering, the customers came to us, Shell, and said, can you do this for us? And we said, yes. Initial start was difficult, and then we became good at it. Sometimes it's hotel, the same kind of customers. And then sometimes it's your everyday customer who says, oh, why don't you have a cinema in your restaurant, in your establishment? And so we built this Genesis Center and put a cinema in it. And today, a lot of customers are asking us different things. And sometimes it's the staff who, in the strategy sessions, you know, we can manufacture snack foods. And so we have our fill-up sausage roll, we have wafers, and we have cookies out of the Genesis brand. So from different places, we listen to whether the customer, the staff, or the, you know, or the people, you know, where the people like also be the end users, the company end users that are talking to us.
It's interesting to see how you have watered the Genesis brand down to even the mass market. you know, because usually people will look at the brand and say, oh, this is for the premium, you know, market. I mean, we have other food vendors who are obviously targeting the lowest of the lowest. Who could you say is your target customers? I mean, what drives, what focus drives your product development?
Okay, so for us, it's about a strong brand genesis. We don't think we've watered it down. We think we've created a product for every class. So even when we're doing, if you look at our sausage roll or our snack food wafers, we still make it, even though affordable at 15 naira, but it feels luxury, both in the packaging and in the taste. And so in everything we do, if it's our hotels, we have 3-star hotels, 2-star hotels, 4-star hotels. So it's being good at whatever price point or at whatever service we want to. So we don't want to be seen at only premium. If with our restaurants, our quick service restaurants, we want the everyday person to be able to walk in and still get a nice meal in a very cozy atmosphere, and we try not to make it expensive. So remember I said we started off as a finer dining, but we then did go to something that everybody can afford. And so the wealthy guy can come into our restaurant feeling comfortable, and not so wealthy guy who is his staff can still come in to the restaurant feeling comfortable. So it's a Nigerian approach that targets the entire Nigerian market, populace, that creates a brand that they cherish. So these days we get different levels of people taking, claiming the brand. Either it's my people from Enugu where I started up from, or my Port Harcourt people who claim, know that I'm a Port Harcourt boy, or the Nigerians who just love the Nigerian, truly Nigerian hospitality brand.
Yeah.
Okay, making claim to it and actually giving us the opportunities now to sustain the brand to go forward. Some of those opportunities come in additional catering service, and they are proud that, you know, the truly Nigerian brand has succeeded where only foreigners were great at it before,
yes.
Or yeah, or just, you know, patronage to say, look, we don't want you to stop doing what you're doing, you're great at, you guys are doing well at it, so please keep up the good work.
That's incredible. Now let's talk about food and politics. You know, considering all the challenges that we have, you know, in the business environment here, you know, what role can government play, you know, in terms of policies in bringing more opportunities to businesses in the hospitality in Nigeria?
I think some of the things that usually stop entrepreneurs from going into businesses like this are capital. And so, not lack of ideas, but capital. Okay. So a couple of banks, CBN, Bank of Industry, CBN with the intervention funds are providing this accessible capital now that will enable young entrepreneurs to start up. And ease of doing business, there's a lot of work on that to where they're making multiple taxation, you know, less of a burden to the budding entrepreneur. And so those are areas that they must continue, okay? I know that there are some banks who are trying to just push entrepreneur funds down the system because, yes, even if the money, the collateral to access this money has become a challenge for some, yeah? So they're pushing a lot of that to become easier for the young entrepreneur to start. And for the big entrepreneur also, who I think that, or medium-sized ones like us, that access to that continues to be important to be able to scale up, okay? Because like, you know, we discussed earlier, there's still an untapped market in that, so we'd like to continue to scale up.
Well, talking about that, do you think it's easier to start a business now than it was in 1991?
You know, there's a film I was just watching recently said the best time to start something is
yesterday
and the next best time is today. It's now. So yes, I think, I know it's funny that my middle name in Igbo is Tabo.
Tabo.
Today is still early.
Yeah.
So it's still early today to start, and there's still loads of opportunities to start today, in my own opinion, yes.
Very interesting. Now, let's talk about the challenges that you have faced in your journey. You know, so what has been the major challenge that you have faced in your journey till now, 30 years after?
Well, usual challenges of finance. Yes, even me too. I have challenges of finance, but over time, one has learned to tackle those challenges. And I think the major way I've tackled it is remaining true to my word with the financiers. So yes, and once you do that, you will be able to get that. usual challenges of infrastructure, of people, even when you have the finance and all of this thing, getting the right team to work with you and keeping them and leading them in the right way continues to be an everyday challenge. And as you scale up, today we're at over 2,500 people. If you scale up, you find that leading that ship with that number of people is a challenge of its own, and keeping the promise to them so that they can help you, because you can't do it all by yourself. So at the end of the day, you need the team to be able to continue to push that business. And so they become your real strength. The right people become your real strength, and that continue to be a challenge. So integrity, grace of God, of course, and the number one, integrity, quality leadership would always continue to help you to overcome all of these three challenges. You know, so with integrity, the bankers who want to lend money really and know that you give them back their money will give you, will take the chance on it. And when even when you go, things don't go as well, do not run away. Go face the problem with them, but with the sincerity of purpose, they can still come back to help you out of those challenges.
That's very interesting. Now, let's talk about, because businesses is carried with a lot of challenges, you know. Have you ever felt like giving up before? Or what stage of your business is that?
Oh yeah, every time, even from the beginning. When we first started in this small restaurant in Enugu, where we just 25-seater table, and then you look out and there are no customers, sometimes you feel like giving up. Are you sure this thing is going to work?
Oh, wow.
But, finding the innermost strength inside you to keep going every day, believing in what you're doing and trying to provide that quality service sort of pushes one. And I think in a way, I'm exceptionally lucky that I have been in a field where I enjoy what I do. I enjoy providing service in different ways. So it's not only food, in different ways. And, you know, and I enjoy tackling the challenges. There's been ups and downs, but again, you must keep going. So my favorite advert is the Johnny Walker. I just keep walking.
I
keep it right there to remind anyone that you just keep walking.
That's very interesting. Now, assuming you are starting all over again, I mean, with the experience and knowledge that you have now, what would you have done differently?
To be quite honest, I'm happy with how I've my business has gone. Would I do anything? I can't even think of the things I would have done differently. I struggle with it. I struggle with what I would have done differently. You know, I'm blessed with the things I've done. I've achieved limited success here and there, and I would just keep going at it. And yeah, so I wouldn't change things. I'm happy with the way things have gone. I wouldn't change things. The things that didn't go well for me has been the way of life. You know, everything doesn't go as well, so I just continue to take my chances.
Do you think business is a trial and error?
It's an informed, it's a chance thing, but it's after a while it's informed, and then it's experience guides you better.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not fully a trial and error. The things I would have done differently, for instance, is if I'm picking my locations, I would pick them better.
Better, yeah.
Okay, but I've taken, in what I said, I've taken my errors as part of learning.
Yes, yes.
You know, so.
Learning on the job.
I learned on the job. When we talked earlier, I said, look, I learned everything I know in my restaurant and hospitality, even from my team.
Yeah.
And every day I learned from the marketing team, the IT team, and all of that. It's an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm. Now, despite all these challenges that you have mentioned, you know, what has been the most rewarding experience that you have had, I mean, being an entrepreneur 30 years after?
Okay, so for me, it's always rewarding when you see what you visioned come to light. Okay, so a long time ago, I visioned creating a Genesis group when I was still in school. It wasn't Genesis then, it was a book I read by Frederick Forsyth called Cain and Abel, and talked about this Abel Rosnowski, who opened the chain of Baron Hotels. And I always visioned having something that would span across Nigeria. Okay, and today at least I can see Genesis in the major cities in the country and over 67 states in Nigeria. Okay, so, and it's still going. And so we're still going to be growing there. So walking into the restaurants or the cinemas or the hotels and seeing people enjoying the service that came from your dream is very rewarding, you know. And then I'll see people who grow and then do other things and interesting things inside and outside the organization is very rewarding. Those sort of things give you a lot of joy and a sense of fulfillment.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. Now, let's talk about advice for young entrepreneurs. I mean, there are many people like myself who are looking forward to, you know, working in your footsteps, because I admire you so much, you know, and someone has already referred me to you already. So now, how important is mentorship?
Oh, in life, you should always aim higher and, look to people who have done it well and learn from what they have done, okay? And they would, if you find the right people, they will inspire you to do even better things.
Did you have mentors?
Yes, I always had some people in my life who played a role to push me, starting from my father, who was a very hardworking and successful businessman. And so for me, it was my early mentor, and then my uncles around me who succeeded in business. Then to getting up later to the likes of Herbert Wigwe of Access Bank, who pushed me to go beyond my comfort zone and push the envelope to, on the things we're doing. And every day, new ones still continue to pop on who I seek advice from and mentorship from, yes, and they will continue to play.
So, but what common mistakes
that should young entrepreneurs like myself watch out for in our journey for success?
I think you should always watch out not to take the shortcuts. You know, we talked about 30 years now. It's a long time to build a brand. So it's enough time. You should not look for the shortcut to getting where you want to be. It's the long route is always actually the worst one or the better one, you know. So yes, the present generation, my son says that we are impatient. So they're impatient and they really want to do it quickly. So yes, build your brand and build your personal integrity to turn around as you get to later years in life, find out that is a lot of money in the bank that you should, people would learn to rely on you and then take your word for it and rely on your brand and rely on your products.
Yeah.
So enough about me. You have to tell me about yourself now. Tell me about your business.
Okay. I'm an entrepreneur. I started in 2010, basically 2009. I was working as a cleaner. I came from nothing, where to do, home, but my dad was an entrepreneur, he was a captain, and my mom also owned the salon. All I've known in my life is, how to own my own business. But when I came to Lagos, I searched for a job for about 3 years, I couldn't find. So what can I do? I had to just start working as, I thought I was working as a mega, those food are open gate. From there, I got promoted to become a cleaner. And while working as a cleaner in 2009, I got a call one day, my dad is dead. He had an accident. And the next day they called me that, he's in the hospital, he's in coma. The next day they said he's dead. And I didn't get the full grasp of what it was until I got home and the hospital bills and everything. I think, he has his sons are in Lagos. That's me and my twin brother. So when I got home and with the whole responsibility on me, things I never heard of before, hospital bills, mortuary fees and so on and so forth. So we came back to Lagos and went to our place and shared the story with him. He said, there's nothing I can do, but I'm going to announce from the church and people can help you guys with anything that they have. On that day, that Sunday, they put a basket out and say, these friends are taking care of our children, they got their parents, anything you can help them. And that's how people contributed money. We got over 150,000 on that day. So, but in the midst of this, one woman came to us that I said, look, I just want to tell you, because I'm thinking about this, and people are throwing money at two people. Your daddy's burial, your life will never remain the same. But if you have a skill, you will never be out of job. And that, me and my brother, was like, okay, what do we do? We now took 50,000 out of that money and put it in the bank and took the other 100,000 and traveled home for the burial. We managed to be able to do the burial with that money. Then when we came back to Lagos, before we leave, our mom told us, now you guys are the first born. You have seven other siblings. You people are not the father. You have to take care of them. And I'm like, we are working as cleaners. We have 10,000 and we just got admission in school. We are very scared in managing to survive. And now we have, added responsibility. So we came back to Lagos. Obviously, the job we had as cleaners is gone. So we didn't have it again. So what do we do? We're not looking for what to do. And that's how the idea of going to learn how to make cake acquired skill. So we learned how to make cake, and then we now started. So we don't have anything. We are squatting with somebody then, you know. So what we do is we go to church every Sunday and call those children that we teach and say, you know what? Go tell your mommy. We'll bake a small cake and come and share it to them. I say, don't eat the cake, go give it to your mommy. Tell them your uncle, then I'll bake cake. You know, your baby cake, your mommy's baby cake, your classmate, bring it here, your uncle will do it. And project, we started getting orders every Sunday from those little kids. So from there, you know, people said, oh, you guys are doing this cake, well, why don't you do wedding cake? So we started going to marriage classes to talk to intending couples. We'll go with the same strategy, we'll bake the cake. My brother will go talk to them, then me, I will come, oh, do you know you can taste your wedding cake before your wedding? They will say, ah, wow, say, oh, that's it. Me, I'll start coming. The idea that we are twins, everyone will say, oh, wow. You know, from there, one day, someone came to us and said, oh, wow, are you sure you can make this cake for my wedding? I said, yes. He said, oh, how much is it? I said, 120,000. He said, oh, can't you do 100,000? And I said, yeah, yes. The wife was like, what are you doing? The man said, enter the car. We just went to the ATM and we got 80,000 cake for us. And that was the breakthrough that we had. So from there, we bought our first oven and we started baking the cake and all of that. So from there, people started saying, why don't you go into kitchen? You're already doing cake. You can also add food into it. And that was how, you know, we grew into kitchen. We didn't know how to we cook at home, but transitioning from domestic cooking to commercial cooking is a different ballgame altogether. So what we'll do is that when we get the job, we'll go give it to caterers, people who do it, and they do it like this. We'll go and deliver the job in our own names. Because we didn't have any equipment and we didn't have a place of our own. You know, and that's how we did that for 3 years until we were able to meet a benefactor who offered to take a chance on us. He gave us a loan of 1.5 million, you know, and that's all the first capital we used to get our first office and started catering, started cooking for companies. And 10 years after, you know, now we are diversified, we have a training school now, then we have consultancy school, we set up hotels and we set up restaurants for other people. And now we have this new venture that we're going into now, the cloud kitchen. You know, basically, idea of having a delivery-only restaurant. You know, and the way we work is basically partnering with chefs, you know, called referential chefs. So we build the place, and then we supply the groceries, inventory, and then we own the customer. Then we have chefs who sign up with their own menu. We vent the menu, and then we publish those menu on our website. So people can order this menu. We have specific menu for different categories of customers. School children, offices, homes. Then we have meal kits as well for hotels. We're trying to, you know, see how we can be able to, you know, help hotels who have issues with their procurement to, you know, to organize that sector, you know. And that's basically what we are currently doing. We are looking how to expand that because the current space that we have is very small to what we want to do. So we're looking at building. Opening a bigger space.
I'm glad you already have expansion in plan. What's the brand called?
Variety Chef.
Variety Chef. So
our dream is to expand, you know, beyond Nigeria to Africa. Because if you look at the African food value chain, there's no Nigerian food brand that's on the top five, even on the top 10 in Africa. We are just one Nigerian company that's not in the world anymore. Mm. So we're looking at, you know, in the next, we have a 25 years plan that we're working with. Well, that 25 years plan is to be among the top three food brands in Africa.
In terms
of volume, and then in terms of a number of customers that we feed, and in terms of number of branches or places that we have present.
Okay. And we do 5 to 10 years, and if we start to think 25 years now.
You say 5 years, but we still have a short term.
Yes. Very interesting you're doing, well done. And
we are still on the journey, really. Still a lot to do, you know. So when I had the opportunity to come and meet you, I was so delighted. In fact, I was, each time I'm sleeping, I'm remembering, I say, oh God, when will this day come? So indeed, it's a great joy to have this conversation with you. It's been a very interesting episode. So any final words for young entrepreneurs listening to us?
So I would say, it's a rewarding thing to do your own business. I always believe that one, you should always stay true to the value proposition that you make to your customers, stay true to the brand, and stay true to people around you. Build on your integrity, build on the brand of your business and your personal brand. And I believe so strongly, because I've benefited from it, that the Almighty will reward and crown your efforts with a lot of success. So good luck to you. Good luck to other budding entrepreneurs. Thank you, Faith Foundation.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Faith Foundation, for giving us this opportunity. We, I'm sure so many of our listeners will really enjoy, you know, listening to Dr. Naito Azuike in this very wonderful interview. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Titus, and God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Journeys in Entrepreneurship. This interview was recorded on the 31st of August, 2021 at the Genesis Group head office in Port Harcourt. We look forward to hearing about your haha moment in the comment section below, and invite you to join us next week, Friday, for a new episode.